Praise God, praise God, praise God. Ah, good evening, good evening, good evening. If you are surprised, I am more surprised than you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's not a small thing to me. You know, things you don't expect, it's like they come out of the blue. When Pastor Craig asked me, would you do that? I almost turned behind to see who was behind me that he is talking to. You know, but one thing, we trust our pastor. We trust that he is led by the Spirit. Amen. I know as you do, pastor is very jealous of this pulpit. We know that ministers called him to ask him to come, and he says no. Because the Lord does not say yes. And so for me, I cannot express to what extent that honor is. And I don't take it lightly at all. And I walk out of that church and I say, Holy Ghost, what are you doing? I don't want to say I am not worthy because we don't get anything because we are worthy. Yeah. And I don't forget that. Yeah. I just say, God, you are honoring me. Yeah. I don't know that I have done anything to deserve that honor because in the kingdom there is no deserving. It's all grace. Amen. So I just say, thank you, Father, I receive. If you say that you highlighted me to Pastor Craig, that means you will give me the words. Amen. And so I don't have to be upset about it. I don't have to scratch my head about it. I did scratch a little bit. Praise God. So what I have, if my voice is a little bit shaking, I don't know. I kept saying, Holy Ghost, is that nerve or is that the anointing? I don't know which. But, so bear with me, everybody. Okay. So what I wanted to share with you is how to serve the plan of God, but particularly in the area of, in the area of evangelism. Okay. So God has a plan, a global plan. God has a plan and his plan is salvation. We know that. It's a reconciliation. His plan is salvation, it's redemption. Okay. Now I'm going to give you three scriptures that all of you, I am sure, already know. But those three scriptures are defining what the plan of God is. Not my definition, but the way he defines his own plan. Amen. John 3:16. Okay. For God so loved the world. So that's his motive. His motive is love. God so loved the world. Not the Canadians, not the Americans. Not the Christians, the world. He loves everybody. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Second verse. 1 Timothy 2:4. God will have all men. Again, not the Canadian, not the American, not some people. All men, not just the church, all men, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Next verse, 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing, in plain English, it's not his will, that anyone should perish. Perishing is against God's will. He is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he wants. That's his plan. That's a plan of love. And that plan of love is for all the world, for all men. Now, when we look at the world, what do we see? Two groups of people. The saved one and the unsaved one. There is not three or four, there is no in between. It's either you are saved or you are not. That, and when I say you are not the world, that includes the Jews, just to make things clear.
Yeah.
Okay? It's either you know Christ, you are saved, or you don't know Christ, you are not saved. Now, God is the king of the kingdom. In any kingdom, there is the king and there are the subjects. The subjects are the workers of the kingdom. Okay? Now, when we were born again, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we automatically became citizens of the kingdom. That means we automatically became workers in the kingdom. What is the work of the kingdom? Salvation. Who needs salvation? Does the church need salvation? No, we are saved. The world does. God cannot send sinners to go tell the sinners to get saved. He has to send the people of the church to tell the world to get saved, that they need the salvation. Okay? That is why we are sent to the world. If we are sent, what does that make us? When a country sends a person to another, what do you call that? You got it. Okay? Now, an ambassador is a person who is sent from one place to represent that place to another. He is not sent to live there and take up citizenship there. He is sent there to tell them, my country is better than yours. But I'm inviting you to cooperate with us and we can have an alliance. No family, no business, no country runs itself by itself. There has to be workers to do the work. As members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are those sent ones. We have the privilege and responsibility to cooperate with God so that He may establish His kingdom in the world. In the church, the kingdom of God is already in us. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom is in us. It's not in the world. That's our function. Okay? Now, when we look at the world, how does their system operate? Everything in the world functions by commerce, economy, marketing, advertisement, and the product. The world has products. Every place has a product that they are marketing. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. You could have a good product. If you are lousy at marketing, look at Mr. Elon. Sure, he invented a great new thing, an electric car. What if he had come up with that, but he never said anything to anybody? It took advert. I know when we watch TV, we don't like the advertising. But they are needed. If there is no advertising, nobody will know about your product. And as the church, what's our product? What are we marketing? Salvation. Reconciliation. That's our product. It's like we are God's salesman. Imagine a good salesman knows his product. if somebody come and knock at your door and they want to sell you something and you ask a couple of questions, how does that work, and they are mumbling about, are you interested in buying? See, many times, and I know Christians have asked me, and you probably experienced that, I wish there was a class about evangelism. You don't need a class about evangelism if you are saved. You don't need somebody to tell you what you already have experienced. If you know you are saved, you know what got you saved. So I'm a sinner, just tell me what you know. That's all. We don't need any evangelism class. We need to know we are saved. We need to know our product. If we don't know it, everything you buy comes with a manual, right? The sales, when you go to buy a car, they don't tell you, okay, you gave us your money, here is the check, here is the key, okay, go ahead. No, they walk you through the car. They tell you, you see this, that's for that. This, you do this, and that car can do that, that, that. They walk you through what it is that the product can do. Yes. And after that, they give you the manual also. Yes. And if you want the thing to keep on going right, when you leave the dealership, you have to keep on going to the manual. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Now, we have a manual. As I said before, there are two groups of people on the earth. There is the church and there is the world. The church is the salesman in the car dealership showing you all the stuff. That is where the agape from Pastor Craig comes from. That's where you get walked through your thing. The Lord gave us Ephesians 4:11, he gave us pastors to teach us knowledge and understanding so we can be equipped for the work of the ministry. Yes. We have a work to do, but we have to learn it. Yes. You cannot send somebody to sell something when they don't know how the thing works. First, train me. When you got hired by your company, they train you in your job. They don't just put you at a desk and I say, go ahead, go for it. Yeah. They train you for it. Yes. To send you to do the job without training would not be fair. Yeah. And if you flunk, they don't have the right to blame you for it. That is why when Christians don't succeed, don't you blame the pastor. Attend. In other words, come to the conference where they are teaching you about the product. Attend. If you want to learn about the product, be there when the boss of the job is saying, okay, all the new salesmen, come here, we are going to have a little seminar there to tell you. Okay? So attend. Give. At least give enough hoot to be there because you just hired at the job. Show up and listen to what the boss has to say. If the boss tell you, okay, go over there, take this file and put this thing, this piece of equipment over there, give off your time, give off your effort, give off your talent, give off your money, give off whatever it is you have. Agape, A-G-A. Assist. Do something. Do something. Anything but do something. You cannot come and work, expect the paycheck on Friday, but you don't want to do anything. They train you, they tell you what to do, they even tell you what the benefit package is. But you cannot submit benefit package if you never show up for work. Your claim will be denied. I'm already off the note. I have been well trained by pastor. Okay, so we have a mandate. The church is called to serve the plan of God by serving both groups, serving in the church and serving in the world. As I said, serving in the world is come here and learn and help and give and pray. This is the training of the salesman. Most of our time should be spent out there, not here. The work is done out there,
right.
not in here. There is a part to play here because this is the training ground. But after, you are trained for a purpose. You are not trained so you can say, I am trained. Okay. So once you get those things, then the last part of the agape is E, evangelize. In other words, okay, you've been trained. We told you what the product is. Here is your manual. Out you go. Go make some sales. Go make some sales. When a person tells you go, that means you are sent. Don't go if you are not sent. Sent people have been trained. People who go, just they go out there and wing it. And they usually don't have any closing sale. We are sent. That means, as I said before, like an ambassador, you are sent. What is an ambassador's function? An ambassador goes and he has one specific assignment. An ambassador doesn't just go to another country and talk about whatever. Let's say if Canada sent to France to send an ambassador to say, okay, it's a certain political issue. That ambassador has no authority to discuss anything else but that political issue. He cannot start talking about commerce. Oh, in Canada, we have a lot of wheat. You have a lot of technology. Why? We can always work together. No. He is not authorized. His authority is limited to his assignment, to his mission. So as ambassadors, we must recognize that we are nobody's savior. Even if the idea of an ambassador about commerce is good, that doesn't validate him stepping out of his role. We must recognize the Great Commission is not go into all the world and save the world. You are not the Holy Ghost. We are not the Holy Ghost. We are not Jesus. When we go, then, we have to be fully aware of the assignment. The assignment is the gospel of reconciliation. You have to know what you are peddling out there in the world. You have to know you try to sell your company's product. You don't have your own little business on the side with those customers. They are not your customers. They are your business's customer that they told you, go to that customer and try to sell him our product. Don't try to sell your own stuff in the meantime. So what is the specific message that we have as ambassadors? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us, the church, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit or to witness that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word or the message of reconciliation. God gave us one message, the message of reconciliation. In other words, God is saying, I reconcile you to myself. You are now my child. I am not holding all your mistake against you. I am not holding your sin against you, all your fault. I am not giving you a list of all the bad things you did. So now you go tell the others that are in the same state that you were and tell them what I did for you. Tell them I am not holding their mistake against them. My son dealt with it. We make a big mistake when we are trying, and I really say trying, to witness to other people, and we are pointing out to them what's wrong with them. Oh no, we are not mad when we are doing it, but we are thinking, that's our squirrely thinking. If I tell you what's wrong with you, then you will fix it. What makes you think you can fix somebody? They won't listen to you, number one. And even if they did listen to you, you will just end up with a changed behavior, not with a changed heart. If you give them a list of what they are doing wrong, which, by the way, they can give you a list of yours, even though you're already a Christian. If you are giving them a list or telling them what's wrong with them, that is not gospel. Gospel means good news. When you keep telling me what's bad with me, you are not giving me anything to make me feel any better. That's condemnation. That's accusation. It is not the gospel. It is not reconciliation. Only one thing can change the heart. That's the Word, and that's the Holy Spirit. You give them the Word of reconciliation, not the Word of a list of their wrongs. You know, I remember when I was around 18, 19, very young, naive, you know, being with your friend, having fun, not doing any big sin or anything like that, but you're young, you're foolish, whatever. My older sister was already saved, married, with kid, in the Bible all day, which is fine. Her heart was right. But boy, she didn't give me any good news. You know, all she could tell me is that because I was having fun in her way of seeing things, having fun, young and having fun, was the sinful life. Yeah, I'm not saying it was the best life. You know, you need some spirituality on your side, but people are at different stages. She turned me off. If I would want to read my Bible, I would make sure she doesn't see me just to spite her. So you see, do we not marketing your product right? Yeah. Yes. Instead of getting a sale, not only they don't buy from you, they tell all their friends, don't listen to that one. Yeah. So we have to remember the key word is reconciliation. The key word is gospel, which means good news, not bad news. They listen. The sinner knows he's a sinner. So So I'm going to give you keys to effective witnessing, if you want to call that. And by the way, Jesus did not send us out. He did not say for us to witness. He said to be a witness. There is a big difference. To witness is to talk, and that's fine. You know, you have to proclaim. But to be a witness is to demonstrate it. The first key, not in order of importance, but one of them, the first one is, we must restrict our witness to the world to that message and that message only. Don't add opinions to it, things pertaining to our culture, religious tradition that are not based on scriptures. That's the way we do it. That's the way the Baptists do it. That's the way the Pentecostal and the Wesleyans, they do it. There is only one way. Jesus is the way. Do it Jesus' way. I don't want to know the ways of the Baptists or the ways of the Pentecostal or the ways of the Word of Faith people. I want to know Jesus' way. The Apostle Paul made sure he followed that rule. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, when I came to you, and remember, the Apostle Paul was a very highly educated man of his time. He was up there with the best. If it was nowadays, we would have said something along the line of, he has 5 PhDs. I mean, he was up there. But he said, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom to declare to you the testimony of God. Mm-mm. He said, I don't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He could have wowed them with his education. One thing I enjoy reading, but one thing I never like, certain books that are so intellectual, every third word I have to pull my dictionary. It's tedious. You lose interest. No matter how good the subject could have been. You know, so it's like you forget about what the person is saying because you are so busy looking at the meaning of the fancy words that you haven't learned yet. That you probably don't ever need. So first, restrict our witness to the world to that message and to that message only. Forget the opinion, forget your particular way, forget your cultural things. Another key to effective witness. See, what I am saying now, it doesn't change the message itself. You are still marketing it. But you are marketing it the right way. Because marketing it the wrong way, like my sister did with me, will cause you not to close the sale. Okay. Second key. Our personal lives, our behavior, our conversations, our actions in the marketplace must reflect the message we preach is demonstrated in our life and that there is profit in our life because of it. If you are telling me how great your car is and I see your car in the shop every week, no. You could tell me a lot of good things about your car, but the fact that it's in the shop every week tells me, The world must see that our lives are better than theirs. If it is not, if that's not the case, why should they believe what we say? Why should they listen? Why should they join us? They have enough trouble on their own. They have to see our life, not our words so much. They have to be able to say, I wish I had what you have. Yeah. Ask yourself, when was the last time somebody told me that they wish they were in my place? When was the last time somebody told you, I wish my life was like yours? It's great when somebody walks in your house and they say, it's so quiet here, I like it. The reason fallen ministers are so, they create such hardship for the church because the world has a habit, we call it a bad habit, but they are warranted. They hear what we say. That's why I say sinners, they know they are sinners. Even though they hear what we are saying. But when a minister falls, when there is a big scandal, the world has a field day. Then they start telling you all the scriptures that you've been preaching to them. See, they judge you with the gospel you are preaching to them, but which you are not demonstrating in your life. I remember when I recommitted, I was backslidden for the first part of my adult life, just living in the world like everybody else. And then when I reconnected, started working with the Lord again, maybe within a year or two of getting started and really learning through the Bible, one day, I can't remember what it was, but I said something, and it was a lie. And I remember my youngest son, he caught me on it. It was really embarrassing. Because I have been trying to encourage them, you know, yeah, we should go to church and da-da-da. I said, but Mom, that's not what you said there. That's not true. I needed a big sack to put over my head. When you are caught, it's not a good feeling. You know, what else was there to do? Apologize, say, you know what, you're right. I was embarrassed, that's why I said that. A lot of time we lie because we're embarrassed. But when you get caught, yeah. So one, restrict our witness to the message. Don't add to it, don't take away from it, don't put your opinion, whatever, to it. Second key, your personal life must reflect what you are preaching. That's why the Bible says, do not take a novice and put them in position. They may be zealous. They are new. They get all excited about the Lord and they want to go preach and whatever. But calm down. Just sit and learn. Get trained before you start going to sell. You know, being a Christian is like being a celebrity. Your life is no longer your own. Everything you do, like a celebrity, everything you do becomes public. Depending on what it is, it becomes fodder for the tabloids. And same thing, as a Christian, you cannot afford to do certain things. And I am not talking about big, obvious sin. Just the casual way of doing things. The not caring thing. That won't wash out. You, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, the end of the verse, and also verse 20. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Your body is not yours to do whatever you please. Your mind is not yours to think whatever you please. It's the same thing about the ambassador. You cannot be an ambassador and walk in the street of that country however you want with your, you know, oh, today is my day off, I'm cool. No, you have a standard. In that country, you are not Mr. John Smith anymore. You are Canada. You are your country. You are not yourself. Yourself is put on hold back home. For that moment, you are your country. Everything you do is your country's doing it. I heard somebody said once, I never know if it was true, but I think this is something, either the First World War or whatever war got started because an ambassador said something that he shouldn't have, which triggered some big conflict. I don't know if it's true that it happened, but it can happen, and it will happen if an ambassador does that. And that is why, as I said, when a minister falls, it hurts all of us. It's like they don't just bring shame on themselves and on their family. They bring shame to the kingdom. So our lives, you know, sometimes you hear the expression, your action talks louder than your words. I have a young friend, well, young, she's in her 40s, which to me is young. She's in her mid-40s now, but I met her when she was 19, just had her first baby, you know, no husband, whatever. But I still remember when I went to see her the first time and meet her baby. Even though I was still a bit young, I mean, young in the Lord, I heard very clearly, do not preach to her. And I thought, because, okay, I would want to preach to anybody whom I know they are not in. But it was so firm and strong. And even though I was not developed yet, it was so clear, I couldn't pretend I didn't hear it. And it shocked me. And then he added, just let her watch you leave. I never forgot that. It was such an intense moment. You know those moments that are so intense, even if you try, you can't forget them. God has never told me that about any other person. That was the only time in my life that it happened. But I found out later on when I got to know her, the family, and so on. I found out why. Raised Catholic by a mother who is more Catholic than the Pope. Okay, mother more Catholic than the Pope. Living with a man, not married, just living with a man. So obviously that man was like the father figure in the house. But it was, you wonder how some people's mind work. When you think very Catholic, and in Catholicism, living together means you're living in sin. Yeah. Well, for all of us that's the same, okay. And if you are living in sin, you cannot receive communion. So all her life, she grew up like that. And when the man died, I remember the mother was so glad, not glad that he died. She was so glad the first Sunday that she was going to church that she was rejoicing because she can get communion. You could spend a life living like that. And then when the person, you rejoice because you can get communion. So it didn't bother you all that time that you couldn't get communion? I don't know if I should cry or laugh about it. If that communion is so important to you, they make a big deal about communion time, which is right, because it's a holy thing. But how can you afford to live 20 plus years without communion to accommodate you living with somebody who obviously doesn't want to marry you? If I'm good enough for whatever, I'm good enough for you to marry me. And that's all I'll say. Praise God. So we cannot live any old way we want and expect to have effective evangelism going. Again, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I keep under my body. In other words, I control it. My body doesn't tell me what to do. I tell it what to do. I keep my body under, and I bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That's what happened to me with my son when I lied. I'm saying, let's go to church, let's go to church. It was not a good day that day. So the control of our minds and of our bodies, that's something we should be attending to. Our behavior in front of the world. Again, our lives are not our own. And if we do not do our part, our job as ambassadors of Christ, we can pray the Lord's Prayer until we are blue in the face. Thy kingdom come. Well, thy kingdom isn't coming if we are not doing our part there. The next key in relating to being effective is relate to people where they are. You don't show up with a Bible and try to shove it down their throat. Understand that sinners are sinners. That's where they are at. I love to say, why do you get mad at a dog because he barks? What did you want him to do, meow? It's not that the bark is good, but that's what he does. He's a dog. So before you start throwing verses at a person, start a little conversation for the purpose of locating where they are at. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 to 23, Paul said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win some of those Jews. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I became all things to all men, so that I might, by all means, save some of them. That doesn't mean you become a Jew. That doesn't mean to the thieves, I became a thief. No. It just means when you meet the sinner, of course, all their life is wrong. But whatever little thing you can find that is good, that you can latch on, start with them with that little thing. See, I used to go to the prison in Milton. I went there for some 25 years or so. Believe me, They don't talk like we do. When you say something and they are surprised, they use language that we don't use in church, and hopefully that we don't use at home either. Even when they are excited about something good, they will punctuate it with a good four-letter words. They go like that and they tell you, "This is great." But that's the way they talk. They are dogs. They bark. Imagine if I would start saying, "Well, don't use that language with me. I'm a lady, don't you know?" I'll let them talk. Yes. I'll let them talk, and over time, they learn. In other words, relate to the person where they are at. You have to go to their level when you start. If they are down here, don't stand on your hoity-toity spiritual self up there. And Paul says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." I heard many expressions in the prison that, thank God, I forgot them now. But and I'm glad I didn't even want to know what they meant. But you know, you cannot act all offended and prude when you deal with the world. They are not going to talk clean. I'm not advocating that's the way to be, but again, they are sinners. That's what they do. And you have to temper your your zeal, or whatever the word is, to walk with them for a period until they start getting a little bit of something of what you are saying. And it will not happen overnight. Generally, it does not. So it's not about winning an argument. It's about winning them to Christ. You know, one thing that I learned with dealing with Catholic people, I never start talking about Mary to them. Why? Because I know it's the most she's more precious than Jesus to them. It is not to me, but I am not going to tackle the issue of Mary when I just meet the person. It will turn them off. Forget it. If they mention Mary first thing that I say, certainly she was a very, I would agree with them that she was a very blessed woman. I would extol the virtue of Mary to them. Imagine being asked by God to carry such an assignment. She is to be honored, and I honor Mary. This way they don't feel any threat from me. You don't tackle issues of contention when you are trying to minister to somebody. Try to find the thing that you can agree on. My Catholic friend, she loves the Lord. Genuinely, she loves God. But she doesn't know anything else because she doesn't get any teaching. So I just, whenever I have a good, let's say if I am believing God for something on purpose, I would tell her, "You know what I'm praying about now? I would like God to do such and such for me. So would you like to pray with me about it? Would you like?" I would tell her, "Would you agree with me?" Even though they don't understand the prayer of agreement, but they will understand what the word agree means. And she'd say, "Oh yeah, sure." And then I'll start praying. I say, "Lord, now I know you say that, Jesus, you said, anything we ask the Father in your name, you will give it." That's the way I minister to them, instead of saying, "Don't pray to those saints. It doesn't work praying to saints. We're not supposed to pray to saints." Why would I tell them, why would I tackle, "Don't pray to saints. It's against the Bible"? They will not agree with me. I would just antagonize them. But I demonstrate the right way of praying. And I would open the Bible. Jesus, you said, whatever I ask in your name, you will do it. Jesus, you say, nobody can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus, I am not going through anybody else except you. See, they don't argue about that because they know it's true. They are seeing the Bible in front of them. And I don't even mention the saints or Mary or the novena or whatever. You have to beat them at their own game. You have to be smart with the world. So I would say, ask yourselves, how effective am I when I am out there witnessing? See, they are not any hard thing. Those key that I just told you, they are not some big fancy thing. They are a lot of common sense and just being nice to people. Even if you are not witnessing about the Lord, why be antagonistic? Why saying something that will hurt a person or put them down? There is no pleasure in putting other people down. Lift them up. Tell them what you have experienced. I love to tell people, the older I get, the more I appreciate peace. I would rather tune you out than have a fight with you. If I have a fight with you, either I win the fight and you get mad because you lost. Yeah? Or you think you win, but it's really, I don't argue with you. I let you believe whatever you want. You think you won. But as far as I'm concerned, I kept my peace and you are still fuming. Okay? So these are the things that I really had on my heart to share with you tonight. And that is how we fulfill the plan of God, because his plan is that the world be reconciled to him. That's why he sent his son to do. Jesus did his part, and when he went, he said, now you go and you do it. You go into the world and you preach to every nation. And the very last thing that I would say in regards to being effective witnessing is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told the disciple, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promised Holy Spirit. Because when he comes, you will be endued with power. And then you will be my witnesses. Effective witnesses cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, you are just going with your smarts. You know how to win an argument. But then that's all you win, an argument. You didn't win a soul, you just win an argument. So think about that. Before you think about witnessing, make sure you prayed. Witnessing is effective when there is a prayer life backing it. And I don't mean just you wake up one day, well, I feel like witnessing today, so I better pray a little bit. Yeah, it's good to pray a little bit before you go that day. But you have to have a prayer life. Because if you are having a prayer life, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You know what's in God's heart. You know God's heart is crying out, longing for souls. And if you don't have any interest in winning souls, what good are you to the kingdom? It's a harsh thing to say, but what good are you to God? We have to ask ourselves, what good am I to God? And forget about, I'll be embarrassed, or I don't know what to say. Say what saved you when you got saved. Tell them that same thing. Okay? So I hope that you receive these words to encourage you to take it more. You know, we are believing for 500 runners in Hebron. Yes. Who's going to tell them to come? One person alone, Pastor Craig alone, cannot bring the 500. But if you bring a couple, you bring a couple, yeah. I bring a couple, we'll get the 500. Yes. So maybe promise your, make your own little 2023 resolution. If I can bring two people in 2023, that's pretty good. Okay. God direct me to the right people. Direct me to the people who need to hear the gospel. That doesn't mean those people will be listening and get saved, but they will hear the message so that when they appear before God, they cannot tell God, nobody ever told me. Don't be discouraged. And I know we tend to feel a little, they don't listen. You know, I invite them, they don't come. It's not your place to drag them in. Your place is to invite them. Jesus said that himself. Even the Great Commission is very specific. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's your part. You go, you preach the message. That's your part. The second part of that verse is not your part. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. He didn't say, you will believe with them and you will baptize them and you will do this. No, that's their part. They have their free will just like you had yours. When you preach to them, when you witness to them, they have their God-given right to make their decision. Yes. They have the right to decide to go to heaven. They have the right to decide to go to hell if that's what they want. Yes. God will not force them. And you have no business trying to. Okay, so let's all get a little bit busier on that this year. Okay? We don't want Pastor Craig to say, are you going to invite anybody to the next? Da, 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 da. Let's do it without him having to say so. Okay? I hope that you receive that. Thank you for being attentive. Thank you very much.